Councillor James O'Connor, you're very welcome to COY 104 FM. You're the Fianna Fáil candidate in the 2020 elections for Cork East constituency, and you're very, very welcome. Thanks for taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Will. I'm delighted to be here.
Good, good, good. Now, you're the youngest candidate in this particular constituency, and you now find yourself running for TD. Tell us about your year and what challenges you've faced.
So it's been a very, very rewarding year for me personally. Look, I really got a chance to pursue something that I always wanted to do as a child and you know, into my teenage years, and that was to work in politics. I suppose like I was in an environment where I was working in Leinster House for a number of years, over 3 years, with multiple members of the Oireachtas. And, you know, I was so used to being behind the scenes in Irish politics. And then the locals came up and I had an opportunity to, I suppose, come back to my community and actually work full time for the people where I grew up here in Youghal, where I went to school here in the town, and to have an impact on the place that, you know, that I live. And that has been very, very rewarding. It's been a fantastic experience, I have to say, to date. And the people in Youghal and the wider community surrounding the town, I have to say they've been quite welcoming. Of course, I think everybody that comes into politics knew. Like I didn't come from one of the political dynasties that would be well established here in Cork East, and many people know my family. They know Fidelma Coleman, and they know my dad Barry O'Connor, and my mum Catherine. But you know, we were not a family involved in politics. We were very hardworking people, but that is new, and I think people just had to try and get to know me. And I feel, you know, since I got in, look, I've been working extremely hard. I'm doing what I love, and it's a big help. But you know, just kind of how things have been going since May, since the locals, they've been going quite well. And I think there's a lot happening locally. I have to say that, look, there has been a couple of issues that I've had to try and identify to solve with Cork County Council, and I have done that, you know. But particularly, I think we have to focus in on a Cork County Council basis. Mm-hmm. Something that's been hugely concerning to me is why we're in a situation in the East Cork municipal area where we actually have the worst roads in Cork County. You know, there's more than one municipal district, and I think in fact there's over 8 in Cork County, and we're at the bottom of the list. And in addition to that, Cork County Council, as many people might be aware out there, actually have the lowest funding per linear metre of any local authority in Ireland. I know it's the biggest county, but maintaining roads everywhere across local authorities in Ireland comes in and around the same cost. So we really are at the bottom of the pile, and Cork County Council in the East Cork area, that has to be addressed, because you know, people out and about there, the Cork County Council, we look after the roads. It's my duty as a county councillor to be looking into issues such as that. Housing is another area, but for the roads and transport, as many people are aware, I did work on that. You know, I really put my heart and soul into that for the first couple of months, as I promised to do. You know, I made a promise and I carried out doing that. And you know, even with the bus issue locally, public transport, dealing with congestion, Castle Martyr, I have to say that's been a hugely successful I suppose campaign of mine to date, is to try and progress matters there to deal with congestion. So as many people are aware, Cork County Council carried out a feasibility study. So Cork County Council, not the government department, so our county councillors are involved in that, carried out a feasibility study into analysing, was there a need for that? The feasibility study has been completed. I've had discussions with the Director of Roads and Cork County Council about that, and the next thing we need to do now is to ensure that it is included as a supplementary project to the National Development Plan. I think it's a massive failure, and I said this in my literature that went out recently of Fine Gael, that is not on the National Development Plan. And of course, the National Development Plan for many people is everything that is regarding infrastructure that is provided by central government on a local level. So everything from your primary healthcare centres to local road projects, including a new school buildings as well. So all major state investment. And in terms of the constituency of Cork East, there's not many many examples that I can tell people that have been carried out under the existing one. So for Castle Martyr, I am going to be pushing that forward, and it's something I do hope to do in Dáil Éireann, because it's a huge issue for y'all, for jobs and industry. When you're talking from the point of view of somebody that's involved in deciding where business is going to locate, whether it is a small business that's involved in distribution or manufacturing, there's a number of different factors there that are very, very important. And one of those is the logistics of actually getting your product to the market or getting it to the places where you can actually export. And we're very reliant in this town, and people out there mightn't have a full understanding of it, but it's critically important that you have the shortest journey possible to the port and to the airport. And getting Castle Martyr done could be turning a corner economically for the town here in Youghal. Because as we're aware, we have a lot going on. Cork County Council are investing in the town, but we must back that up by government investment as well. That's certainly a major key concern for me. And during the last few days, I had a very extensive discussion, and I'm delighted to say this is an exclusive for you here in CRY. I spoke with Tim Lucy of Cork County Council. So he's our chief executive of the County Council. He's the senior civil servant. And I had an extensive discussion with Tim about my concerns here for my town of Youghal, from an economic point of view, and for just trying to generate greater revenue for local businesses which are employing local people. And you know, it's just the economy in Youghal is such a big issue, because I want to see everybody, no matter what walk of life they are, to have the opportunity to live locally, to work locally, and to actually say that this is a place where they can grow up and grow old. And certainly I've done everything I can in order to progress matters with that. With Tim Lucy, I discussed about the need for, you know, even proper signage coming into the town. If you were a tourist driving along the N25 at present, you come to Rankin Roundabout, which is in County Waterford. There's been very little progress with Waterford County Council there to try and secure the roundabout, to try and boost visitor numbers coming in. We spoke about that. I want improved signage coming into the town. I also spoke to Tim about what we need to do with our area around the beach. I spoke about my dissatisfaction with AirGrid, as many people out there are aware, and very concerned, as am I, about the projects where they were going to be bringing the interconnector mm-hmm. into the beach here in Youghal. They're not contributing anything near what they should be to our local community if this project is going to be carried out. You know, it's nearly a billion euro project, and in terms of local infrastructure, I spoke about it at a municipal district meeting not too long ago, about the need for further footpaths and amenities, and just making the beach and our area around the Front Strand more attractive. I've been working extensively as well, trying to get our buildings knocked. I've spoken to the owners of the Seafield Fabrics next to Parks about their plans, and I'm happy to see that there are plans there in place to take that building down soon. I'm also anxious to see that the hilltop is knocked soon as well. So dealing and focusing in on these as a local councillor is quite important, and often, you know, it's not, we're elected for you've 5 years as a councillor, and you have that CLLR before your name, and you know you must make use of every single moment that you have. Mm-hmm. I have done that. I've worked hard, and you know, I think we are seeing improvements locally. You know, I think it's important that we drive on and go forward to try and get as much done locally as we can.
Hasn't there been several objections in the past when Seafield was suggested for knocking down, and those objections were withheld?
There were objections, but asbestos is a major problem in the facilities, my understanding of it from the research I was doing, and just in terms of generally actually making sure that the asbestos there is dealt with, and that there are other safety concerns, but that there are actually plans there for that to be dealt with. So it's important that we're at a phase now where the current existing owner wants to actually do something with it. You know, mm-hmm. they're not going to lie down and let nothing happen. And that's very, very important, you know, because I think that it is an awful blight on the town here, that we have these derelict buildings that are destroying the place as a visitor location. We've so much going for us at the moment, but it's just getting those things done and dusted is a big issue for me, you know. So look, with Cork County Council, as I said, there's a few separate matters that I am following up with them. They've been quite good in order to engage with. Obviously, the roads are still a bugbear for me. The further north you go of Youghal, and you go up towards the Fermoy area, like it's desperate, you know. So indeed, it's a big problem.
So you've set out some of your visions that you would like to see Cork East take on as well, and you know, if you're successful in becoming a TD as well. Now, one of the biggest issues, I guess there are several, but one of those big issues is the lack of will or desire to work on and fix the housing and homeless. What is your take on how you would go about looking into that issue?
Well, I definitely think there needs to be a lot more support. And when I mean support, I mean when somebody finds themselves in a situation where they're homeless. And I often, obviously as a county councillor, one of our roles is to help people who are in dire situations with housing. It's very, very difficult for them to go up to County Hall and to actually to engage with that issue and to get themselves registered, to get the necessary paperwork filled out. And for a lot of people, when you're presented with a document with several pages on it to fill out, it is very, very difficult. It is extremely difficult. I think we underestimate how hard paperwork can be for some people. That's a particular area that we do need to see that greater resources being put into, such as community community welfare officers and making sure that they have what they need to do their job properly. It's certainly what I have found going into it and handling reps for people with Cork County Council. It is extremely difficult. The GDPR rules that have come in have been quite difficult for the County Council to actually assist people in those situations. But in terms of direct building of property, I feel that the government, under their existing scheme, the Strategic Housing Initiative scheme, where they can come in and actually go over the county councillors' heads in order to promote new strategic development of housing, it's not working. It's creating an awful amount of consternation in communities. And by locking councillors and local representatives out of the decision-making process when you're on about building large-scale housing developments, it creates... From what I found from being down in Cove discussing tonight, it creates an opposition to the building of more houses. That's a very serious issue, because there's a lot of developers out there that they're willing to build houses, but the developments that they're putting in, they're utilising the strategic housing developments and initiative routes, and then that's locking out local representatives. That has to be changed, because too often the government are coming out and they're saying to the local authorities that it's your fault that there's not enough houses being built. When in reality, when it comes to large-scale developments, I haven't been approached once as a county councillor any developer to actually say, oh, I want to build 200 houses here. You know, we get the smaller, maybe 20, 30s, but in terms of the larger scale developments, for the government to be blaming county councillors in Ireland, which they're doing in Dublin in particular and in Cork, is a bit rich, you know, because it's just
so
it's
who
the case
should be in charge of making decisions to build houses?
It should be a process that includes all key stakeholders in it. Just as I'm saying, what I said there, you know, is that you have a situation where under the strategic housing developments, the county councillors are locked out of the process. They should be involved in it. And if they were, it would be a fantastic way of getting houses built. It would help allay the fears of many people in communities that are opposed to housing developments being built. And if you go through the record of looking at the strategic housing developments, there is a huge percentage of them that are actually being blocked. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the large-scale housing developments, and that is affecting affordable homes as well as social housing. So social housing is part of that, but in terms of affordable homes, that needs to be, you know, that needs to be addressed as well, because there's that is causing a slowdown in the process of building houses. You know.
So in the case of social and affordable homes, should it be in the hands of a developer or the council?
Well, not necessarily, don't get me wrong there now, in terms of the hands of the developer or the county council. Just when it comes to the process of actually going from a development stage to being built, you need to ensure that the local councillors who are on the ground elected know the community and know the people, have a stake in actually ensuring that the developments are being built correctly and properly, and that the density is got right, because that's what's happening at the minute in terms of opposition being stirred up around housing developments. It has to be, in both point of view, in my opinion, that you do need to have a mixture of private and public housing schemes that are out there. So yes is the answer to the question, but just I wanted to give a bit of a pretense there. I'm not saying it should be one or the other. It needs to be a mix, because if you don't have a mix, you have over-reliance in one sector, and as we've seen, that can be devastating in many areas in our economy.
But I would argue then that we have an over reliance on the development sector as a stance, because if you look at the cost of building a house through a developer, it's on average €330,000. If you look at the average cost of building, that's a three bedroom semi detached house. If you look at building a three bedroom semi detached house through the local council using their own
direct
land
labor
banks,
yeah,
it costs €150,000.
Yes, and I think you've a very good point to make there, and to a certain extent I do accept it, you know, and I think there's a very interesting project just going on in Cork at the moment in terms of the council once again taking over construction of projects, and that is the Killarney-Macroom bypass scheme. And I'm going to watch that to see how it goes, because it's the first large scale investment that Cork County Council have been involved in with a very long time. And I think we need to keep an eye on projects where they're involved in direct builds to see if it can be utilised in other sectors, and certainly with housing. So do you know what, you have an excellent point to make there, and for me, I am open to that idea. I did 3 years of study in housing policy with Ronan Lyons. He's the top property expert in the country. He's on Morning Ireland and Drive Time in the evenings, and you know, it's an area that I do want to work on. And I have to say, as a young person, for me at the minute, trying to save up for a mortgage is impossible, you know. Obviously, you have to go through the cost of a campaign, but for people earning under €30,000,
it's impossible.
It's horrible. They're locked out of the process. And even if I know couples, younger couples who are living in Dublin, and they might be working as medium level jobs in accountancy firms in Dublin, where they're earning in excess of €80,000, they might be earning 40,000-45,000 each, and they're never going to be able to afford a home in that city. So even in our cities in Ireland, and Cork is going the same way, like younger people, I think we have to accept the way the modern economy works. There are phases of people's lives where they do need to live in urban settings, whether they're in university or in college, or they're working for the first few years of their career in the firms that we have in our city of Cork and in Dublin and Limerick and Waterford,
especially in Ireland, because those major cities are spread out east and west and north and south.
And we need to make sure there's enough actual affordable accommodation in those cities, because at present the situation is saddening, and I think it has to be said, it's now an economic decision for families in the last number of years about where their kids get to go to college, and that is wrong.
Now, ever increasing waiting lists, hospital lists, patients on trolleys, corridors, etc., etc., understaffing, and emergency departments overcrowded. Are we doing enough?
It's a huge issue. We're not doing enough. And in terms of for me going forward as a general election candidate in Cork East, something I do want to see is the prioritisation of our community health facilities. It's extremely serious. The elective crisis, I'm not satisfied that enough has been done by the government to tackle the elective crisis. And I think it is absolutely wrong that we're seeing a situation in Cork where the government are attempting to build yet another city centre hospital. We need to look at the existing facilities that we have, like our county hospital in Mano General Hospital as well. We need to look at facilities where there were procedures being carried out, where there was investment made into those facilities, to see if we can expand existing elective procedures. That's very, very important for me, and we do need to see an expansion in the elective procedures. But something we did hear the other day from many health experts over our national airwaves was the fact that the recruitment of medical personnel by the HSE has to be reformed from top to bottom. The HSE as an entity, it was set out to try and to solve a lot of the problems that were existing through the Southern Health Board and the different health boards that were there. But what's happening now with the recruitment is that they're failing to meet the targets that were made. Like, we saw a government minister go on the airwaves the other day, Regina Doherty, claiming that there was a major increase in the number of professional medical staff that were involved in it, which was completely and utterly wrong. It was false. I think there was only an increase of 2 dozen.
I think she was caught out on that as well.
She was. I listened to it live, and it's extraordinarily serious. But just in terms of our local health infrastructure, we do need to look at what we have on the ground that's already here, that's already built, in terms of tackling this immediately. Like, it's wrong that I have constituents coming into my office and I have to tell them to go to Belfast to get their cataracts done. That's honestly going on. And there's politicians actually from Kerry down to Wexford that are sending busloads of people up to the north to make use of the cross-border scheme. And I think that every politician should hang their head in shame over the fact that that is the situation that we're currently in. It needed to be dealt before, and I do not think it was a wise decision of the government to prioritise tax cuts rather than leave our national services suffer, because the reality is at some point in everyone's life they are going to need healthcare, and they're going to need the attention of the fantastic staff that we have in the HSE, and they're under-resourced at the minute. And that they're being swallowed up by bureaucracy as well. I've met a lot of nurses on the doors that have actually left. I've met three during the week that have retired early, that they have walked away, gave up the roles, they couldn't hack the pressure of it anymore. And administrative issues must be addressed as well going into this general election.
And there's certainly no, or is there any enticement to bring people back, say, from Australia, where many, many Irish people left to become nurses over there as well?
The saddening situation is that the actual conditions, what matter than the pay, are nearly a bigger issue for many people now. They're aware of how much of a strain there is in the health service, the hours that people have to work, and that has to be addressed. You know, they can't... They've new medical facilities built, but they actually can't staff them. Indeed. And, you know, pay is an issue, but the conditions as well and accompanying that are massive. And that brings me, and could you mind me saying, actually, just while we're on that, about pay and conditions, I had a very important meeting during the week on the issue of pay and conditions with the head of PD Fora, with Mark Keane, who's president of PD Fora, about our defence forces. And I'd like to, if it was okay with yourself, could I say one or two lines of that as well? It's important. I've been having extensive engagement with our retired servicemen and women and active servicemen and women about the issues that we have in our armed services here in Ireland, in our Navy and in our army in particular. There's a lot of people here in Youghal would have served in the Defence Forces, and at present there's a serious shortage of staffing. Much of this is to do with conditions as well as pay, and you know that seems to be a very common theme all around the civil service at the minute in Ireland, in terms of people who are in very difficult jobs, that the conditions that they were in those jobs are simply not good enough. They have to be improved, and something I'm very passionate about doing as a representative in Cork East, and the naval base of course is below in Cove and Hulbolden. It is very, very important that we see that the actual accommodation blocks that are there, that there's investment put into them. They all they require is 10.5 million to upgrade the existing accommodation facilities, are about $4 printers. That investments are not being made, you know. It's shocking when you think about it, and yet the government then are happy to waste in excess of $2.5 billion in the national broadband plan, you know. And I don't think that that's wise expenditure of public money at that cost. And by the time it's going to be finished, who knows what technology is going to be there.
And is that something that, all things being equal, and if you were to win a seat in the Dáil as well, is that something that you would passionately fight for?
Oh, very much so. It's something I'm very, very, I've huge respect for members of the of our Defence Forces in Ireland. I've gone to school with many of them. I've worked alongside them in my previous roles that I worked in politics. I got a chance to work up close and personal. And the way that they're treated in terms of pay and conditions is an absolute disgrace. They're locked out of the room because of the fact that they're Defence Forces personnel, and that is wrong. That has to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And we need TDs that are going to go up to Dublin and actually seek changes in these. Like Fianna Fáil have a major chance of winning the next general election. This town here has a chance for the first time in a long time of having a TD in government. And I would just want to get the message out there to people that you can only change things when you're in government. You cannot do that when you're an opposing voice in Dáil Éireann. That's something I'm seeking to do. It's very, very important to me. And that's why I think it is important that I do get the local support on the day of the election.
Now, another issue, not specifically, I guess, Cork East, certainly not, but affecting not just Ireland, but the rest of the world. And it's a major topic at the moment in the news as well. Climate change, climate action. What policies would you see in there?
Well, I'm a very, very... I suppose committed individual when it comes to public transport, as you're well aware.
Yep.
I've done an awful lot in terms of trying to actually incentivise further investment into our public transport system. That is going to be part of the solution to the problem of the climate crisis internationally. And at present, if you're working in Cork, or if you're working in Middleton or anywhere else along the Route 40 or the 260 service that stops here in the town of Youghal, it's actually impossible for you to realistically take the bus to work every single day and be guaranteed that you're going to get there in time.
Yeah.
And you're going to get there. The bus is actually going to show up. It's pitiful, the response I got from the CEO of the National Transport Authority about their actual investment in public transport in rural areas like East Cork. The next government must invest in PSO services, so the public service obligation services that are subvented by the state, that they actually put services in place. Like when you think about it, you're going up to Cork in the morning. The fact that we've no bus going under the tunnel is absolutely mad. Such an easy thing to do. You could have Mahon, you could have COH, UCC, Ring and Skiddy, all these places serviced, and you could stop in a little island on the way. The amount of people that would come down and happily park their car, if they had the knowledge that there was going to be a bus there at 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening to bring them home, they'd happily do it. I guarantee you they would. And there's a lot of people out there, they want to do their bit. You know, for me, I haven't been in a plane in 4 years or 3 years, so it's I haven't exactly been flying around the place, but it is certainly important that we do take steps that will not badly affect the economy, that are easy to make, that will help the current situation. And public transport is a huge part of that.
So public investment in public transport and road networks.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And we do like to even...
So for argument's sake, if I was to say to you that the Cork to Limerick road...
No. That's we're in a bit of a paradoxical situation. But at present, I would argue, if you were driving from Cork to Limerick on the existing road, you'd have a lot higher emissions than you would if you were on a motorway, because the journey takes half an hour longer. Mm-hmm. So I see the Green Party came out and came against that project. I'm not going to be doing that. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that needs to be built. But even for bus services utilising that route at present, there's no direct train service from Cork to Limerick. It has to stop at Limerick Junction in Tipperary and go back into Limerick.
And presumably yes. A bus pumping out diesel fumes going through smaller villages, etc. in towns
exactly.
Would be far more detrimental to the atmosphere.
Of course it would. Yeah. And it's definitely something that we do need to see, is that road being built. I'm 100% behind it. And I completely disagree with the pushes that have been made to reroute voted via Tipperary. That would be devastating, I think, for the region, and it's going to block the potential upgrades to the road network in Cork City, which is needed as part of ensuring that there's a proper transport infrastructure there for buses to actually drive on. You know, you can't have proper bus lanes, you can't have the proper cycle lanes unless you put actual roads in place for them to utilise, and at present, or to take pressure off the existing smaller road network as well. And something I do want to see happen as well, and this is happening under the Cork Area Metropolitan Strategy Plan, is that there's proper park and ride facilities put in place on the entrance into Cork City. So if you're going up to Cork shopping for the day, whether you're in Youghal here or you're in Middleton or in the rural areas, you can go to that park and ride facility and get shuttled straight into Patrick Street, and out you go again when your shopping's done. And that helps take cars out of our cities. It'll take miles off of people's cars as well. You know, it's a great way of incentivising people to try and reduce their usage of cars. So it's something I am trying to push. But this has to be said, the current investment that's coming from the Exchequer into plans like these political promises, did not happen, and they have to happen, and I'm very, very concerned about that. I just want to put it out there, I do feel we've extraordinarily weak leadership from our Fine Gael TDs in Cork who are representing us in the government at present. That must change at the next general election. I want to be a strong voice that will speak up in order to secure funding. And that has to happen, because we had Irish Rail the other day, who have a wonderful plan in place to help reduce congestion in Cork, but they said to us, we haven't been given a penny yet. So that's wrong.
Given that you're a TD, do you fancy working until you're 68 before you get your pension?
In politics, I think
slightly different, but for the general public.
For the general public, I would work until I was 65, 66, you know. I'm a bit unhappy with the push that has been made, the communication around it. It's not been explained to people properly about what they're trying to set out to incentivise. I'm waiting for the publication of the Fianna Fáil manifesto in full to see what the party policy will be on it, but I'm exceptionally unhappy with the decision that has been made in terms of pushing that forward.
But as it stands, it would suggest that people who have, through contractual reasons, have to retire at 65, they then have to claim Job Seekers Allowance until they can collect their pension.
It's humiliating for people. It's humiliating for people. Yeah. It's wrong. And I think that the way they've gone about it, they didn't take the time to reflect and pause and say, if we are going to do this, how are we going to explain it to people?
And a pension isn't a gift.
Yeah, it is not. It's something people work throughout their lives, and sadly, many people, they never get to that stage. You know, I think it's like the average age of a male in Ireland is substantially lower than it is of a female. So it is discriminatory, in my opinion. So it's not often you hear about discrimination against men, but for the men that are sitting at home and listening, we have a shorter life expectancy than women. So our pensions are going to be adversely affected by this decision by government. And I do think that we need people that are going to actually should have taken the time to explain it, to get it right before they tried to implement it, and they did not do that. Certainly, it reminds me in ways of what happened with the RSE commemoration. It was just happened all of a sudden, it was announced and that was it. But you have to actually come in and explain to people exactly what you're trying to set out and do. That didn't happen, and something as important as this, as trying to raise the pension age, it's extremely serious, you know, and it's another failure of Regina Doherty. Don't like Regina Doherty. She's been misleading people for quite some time, and I think this general election, it's going to be proven that has been the case on a lot of occasions.
Now, if you had the power, what one government policy would you reverse?
If I had the power, what one government decision would I reverse? I think I'd reduce the cap, and I'd get rid of the cap that was implemented on home help hours. It's very, very serious. I've dealt with a lot of people involved in caring for our elderly in our community. Home help is a necessity for many families that are not in a position to care full time for their loved ones, whether it is their parents or might be elderly relatives of theirs. Even my own grandparents, it was wonderful that we had that assistance. And I lost my granny earlier on in the year, but you know, they were excellent. They were really, really, really brilliant in the work they did, and I'll forever be grateful to the carers that we had, and I'm sure a lot of families can identify with me on that issue. But the current caps that are in place are devastating. You know, the hours that are not long, they're not long enough. When I'm hearing what elderly people are only being allocated a couple of hours in a week, it's disgraceful. When they need almost around the clock support, many of them, and it's certainly a major initiative that could be done by government, just to reverse that in order to try and take some of the pressure off the health system. I've no doubt that people's health is being impacted by the fact that they're not having the support they need later on in life. You know, everybody's time comes eventually. But you know, when elderly people are being left alone with no supports because either their family are not in a position to care for them or there isn't any family there to care for them, they require the help of many of the people who are working in home help, and they're under enormous stress at the minute. You know, and I'm speaking to people who want to work and they can't because they've been restricted. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been one of the most devastating things that Fine Gael have done, you know, in recent years. And I really would like to work on that if I could get into the Dáil.
James O'Connor, really appreciate your candour and your time. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks a million.